least 400,000 people have died in the Syrian conflict that is now 10 years old. More than 5.6 million have fled the country, with millions more displaced internally. The violence has been bloody, brutal, and unrelenting. Much of the world has looked on, but turned away. President Bashar al-Assad is still in power, and as Nicholas Pelham reports in The Economist this week, the war and human losses may have strengthened the influence of Asma al-Assad, his wife. Nicholas Pelham joins us now from Erbil in northern Iraq. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Tell us about Asma al-Assad. Grew up in London, worked in the corporate world, was once certainly regarded in the Western press as a sign that Syria was going to transform itself.
Yeah, I mean, the story begins in the London suburb of Acton. This is a young girl who calls herself Emma, who doesn't really seem to have any association with Syria at all. She goes to a church school, she works in banks, and then all of a sudden she's sort of plucked out of this kind of very Western world by the man who turns out to be Syria's next president. And she wants to be a first lady of the Middle East, the first lady of the Middle East. She sees herself as kind of an equal, perhaps, of Princess Diana. She sees herself as a kind of modernizing force who's going to transform what had really been a pretty isolated country at that point for 30 years.
Did many people in the West misjudge her or think if she pulled on a French-made blouse conspicuously and wore jeans and went to a refugee camp, there must be something transformative about her?
I think they probably saw her as the person who can save Bashar al-Assad from himself. And so, you know, very much she plays into that. You know, when they go touring in Western capitals, you know, she is very much there at his side, but also as his equal. She's the one who does much of the public speaking. She speaks without notes. She's much more fluent than he is. She has a PR firm. And yeah, as you said, she wears these kind of eye-catching stilettos, and Vogue calls her the Rose of the Desert. And, you know, for a time, the family thwart her, and then they just realize that actually she becomes a necessity in this attempt by Syria to escape its isolation.
How has she and her family been able to enrich themselves in all the suffering and chaos of the past decade in Syria?
I think to understand that, you need to go back to the Arab Spring of a decade ago, where you have protests spreading. And for a time, that kind of that leads to the old order resurrecting itself. Asma is again sidelined. And then sort of a series of flights of good fortune take hold. And slowly you start to see her kind of, you know, fill this space which had previously been dominated by the Assad family and their circle of tycoons. And she appoints her own in humanitarian aid, which is a major money spinner, given the amount of foreign aid that was coming into Syria during the war, or whether it's one company after another, one state enterprise. You know, she uses the influence that she has. She uses her position. She's much more astute economically. She has this background as a banker. And she asserts herself over pretty much every facet of economic life in Syria.
Has Asma al-Assad been able to enrich herself with UN aid that's meant to assist the humanitarian interests of the people of Syria?
I mean, there's no doubt when you have a totalitarian regime, the lines that are drawn between the public and private purse are pretty much invisible. If the UN want to keep operating in Syria, they need to ensure that she is on side. They've been paying her foundation, the Syria Trust, increasing sums of money year after year to retain their position. There are those who argue that this is kind of par for the course, that, you know, if you want to do business in a totalitarian regime, you have to do that with the people who hold absolute power.
And all the international sanctions that are supposed to make a difference, do they?
They certainly make a difference for Syrians. Life has become ever more expensive in Syria. I suppose the tragedy of Syria is that the weaker the population become, the easier they become to dominate. And yes, she is kind of personally sanctioned. Her brothers have also been sanctioned, so is her mother, so is her father. But that hasn't stopped them becoming what I think many Syrians see as a mafia dominating Syria.
And you suggest she has ambitions.
You know, for the first time, quite remarkably, in Syria, you're now starting to see Asma al-Assad's portrait sort of across the front of buildings in her parents' hometown of Homs. And you've got presidential elections coming up sometime in the first half of this year. And as yet, Bashar al-Assad hasn't announced his candidacy. She might have greater success in trying to win international appeal. And certainly, I think she sees her path to the top still has some way to go.
Nicholas Pelham is a Middle East correspondent for The Economist. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott. It's always a pleasure.